Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. Son Daniel in studio with us today. And in the news, in the first 5 years of the Bush regime, federal spending was increased 45%. That according to a recent editorial. 8 Clinton years of federal spending increased that spending by 32%. So over 5 years of Bush, we got a 45% increase in federal spending. Over 8 years of Clinton, we had an increase of 32%. And under Bush, federal spending increased 23% in 4 years. Adjusted for inflation, real federal spending is 65 times larger than it was in 1930. Well, that's significant. I didn't realize it was that significant, Dave. The U.S. population has more than doubled since 1930. If we take population changes into account, real per capita spending is 27 times higher than it was in 1930 for the federal government.
So we're paying 27 times more, even though they're spending 30 times more.
Yes, and here's what I'm getting out of it. After increasing federal spending by, a factor of 27 times, that's 2,700% in the last, 60 years, I get my Social Security statement. That came in yesterday. So I open it up, and Dave, as it turns out, with all the money I've been dumping into the system for the last 25 years, when I retire, I get enough for a hot dog, a bag of cheese, chips, and a Coke. I get that every month.
No.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Oh,
no,
I won't.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
It may not be there for you. Social Security is based on the idea that there's lots of new workers coming into the system to pay for your hot dog.
Oh, and that's right. Population is imploding. I forgot we were existentialists. We're getting rid of kids. We don't want kids. Well, anyway, I went ahead and fed the statement to the dog. I figured it wasn't worth anything.
Well, at least somebody's eating on Social Security.
Yeah. My dog got the Social Security statement that arrived yesterday. But my other Social Security programs are actually, one of them is in studio, my son Daniel. Hey, Dan, you're my Social Security program. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Of course you do. Of course you know that. You're my Social Security. What is Mom and Dad going to do when we're high and dry, we have no money left, and we're sitting in some apartment, some inner city somewhere? Well, who's going to take care of us at that point, son?
I'm going to be taking care of you.
Is that a guarantee?
That's guaranteed.
You know what, Dave? I believe him more than I believe the government. I trust him. I have more of a relationship with him.
Well, he's not in as much debt.
That's true. That's true. He's doing better. He's in the black. Ladies and gentlemen, the Baptists are trying to get their kids back into public schools. A conglomeration of Southern Baptist churches and conservative Baptist churches have issued a statement. Yes, they are saying, we call on Baptists to recommit themselves to a just society. A just society will ensure that every American child has an opportunity for a good education and that public schools have the resources necessary to provide such an opportunity, achieving the highest standards possible. Boy, that sounds like the public schools to me, doesn't it, Dave? Yes, the highest standards. They've been doing it for decades. We call on Baptists to recommit themselves to the nation's founding principle of E Pluribus Union. Somewhere in, that's in the Constitution, right? The public schooling?
That's on our money. E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah, that's right.
Out of many, one.
A society based on unity out of diversity will embrace every child. Anyway, this is a society full of diversity where we'll embrace every child and recognize the vital role of public education to play in achieving national unity. I.e., and there isn't a mention of the Bible. Not a mention. They don't care what the Bible says. God doesn't belong in our schools. We're happy with the polytheistic schools. The schools that refuse to teach the fear of God, which is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Baptists, the Southern Baptists and Conservative Baptists, this isn't all of them, but some of them are saying, get those kids into those polytheistic, anti-God schools. We have got to keep God out of the schools because God, the Creator God, the real one in three, does not belong in the public schools.
And Kevin, this just in, the Israelites at Mount Sinai want to worship golden calf.
Oh, no. You know, we've had this problem for a long time, haven't we? A bunch of pastors and churches in Denver got together on Sunday, guys, to lament the death and burial of a school in downtown Denver. There's this public school in Denver. It's a manual school. It's called Manual. And it only has a 20% graduation rate. So they're pretty much going to defuse the whole thing. It's a big mistake. They're going to take this cesspool completely out of operation. Well, anyway, got all these pastors and churches together at this New Hope Baptist Church down in downtown Denver. They were singing hymns to the school, Dave. We Shall Overcome. They're passionate preaching messages from a pastor, Asen Phillips, and a few other guys. And he's shouting into the mic right here. I mean, he's just shouting in the mic. This guy's getting passionate. I mean, he's preaching the wrath of God. He's saying, we have got to get these schools back into operation. And Dave, you know, what's sad is it's the school was DOA. It was dead on arrival. They're just looking for an RIP sign for it because it wasn't doing any good. Here, the messianic state of American education, the Messiah, the Savior of America, isn't saving the kids like we had hoped it would. And so they're going, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo, whatever happened to the God state, the state that said they would save us? They've only got a 20% graduation rate at Manual High School in Denver. Anyway, these guys are deeply religious, and this is the worldview of Horace Mann. He was the founder of public education back in the 19th century. This is what Mann wrote. Listen, the property of the Commonwealth is pledged for the education of the youth up to such a point as will save them. Save them from poverty and vice. The common school is the greatest discovery ever made by man. Public education is the cure-all for sin and for the weaknesses of human nature. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the worldview. This is the religion of men like Horace Mann, who, by the way, call themselves Christians, as a lot of these people do. But folks, these people are not Christians. They have the wrong worldview. They've got the wrong Messiah. I'm sorry. You got the wrong Messiah. It wasn't Manual High School. It wasn't the schools of the Commonwealth that were going to save us from all of our ills and sins. That was not the Messiah. The Messiah came and died on the cross for our sins, and you're supposed to trust in him and obey his law. Wrong Messiah, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of folks who are sending their kids to the public schools, including these guys from New Hope Baptist Church in downtown Denver, they've got the wrong Messiah. And in the end, their Messiah is just going to corrupt the kids. It'll corrupt education, families, and our entire society. And that is what's happening. This is the worldview we complain about on this program year in and year out. It's the worldview that's producing a world where 36% of children are now born without fathers, up from 5% in 1960. It's the worldview where half of marriages end in divorce. And these guys are supporting that system. And that doesn't matter if their name begins with a reverend, a pastor, a bishop, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if they've got a little Jesus sprinkled on top. If the worldview is bad, folks, if the education system is not Christ-centered, it's going to wind up corrupting the kids and destroying a nation. And that is exactly what has been happening. Well, finally in the news here, schools may ban hurtful T-shirt slogans. This is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Dave. Your friends.
My friends in the Ninth Circuit.
Oh, yes, the Ninth Circuit out in San Francisco, right?
That's right. That's right. That's where they pitched their tents.
Well, public schools now may bar clothing with slogans that are hurtful. This came out last Thursday. This appeals court ruled in a case where a student wore a T-shirt to public school saying, cannibalism is shameful. Okay, they called this thing hurtful. And Judge Stephen Reich, who was the majority opinion for this particular court case, Judge Stephen Reich wrote, the demeaning of young cannibalistic students in a school environment is detrimental not only to their psychological health and well-being, but also to their educational development. And then there was a guy who dissented. This guy Kaczynski dissented. He said the types of speech that could be banned by the school authorities under the high school hate policy are practically without limit. Any speech code that has at its heart avoiding offense to others gives anyone with a thin skin a heckler's veto, something the Supreme Court has not approved in the past. And then Judge Reich gets back into it, and he says, perhaps our dissenting colleague believes that one can condemn cannibalism without condemning cannibals. If so, he is wrong. To say that cannibalism is shameful is to say necessarily that cannibals are shameful. And, you know, he's right on that, Dave. Oh, I'm sorry. This just wasn't about cannibalism. I'm getting my abominations mixed up again, Dave. It was homosexuality. I'm sorry about that, folks. It was homosexuality. It wasn't cannibalism. But nevertheless, he's right. If you condemn cannibals or homosexuals or homosexuality, it's really either way, you're condemning both.
Can I condemn judicial activism without condemning judicial activists? And if judicial activism offends me, can I stop it?
I don't know. I guess, you know, you shouldn't be walking into his courtroom with judicial activism is shameful. That would be a T-shirt banned by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
In effect, Kevin, this just bans all speech because somebody is going to be offended by anything.
Pretty much. And that's what Kaczynski wrote. Yeah, you know, Dave, it's so hard to be tolerant when you want to be so polytheistic. You want to be so pluralistic. You want your schools to be polytheistic because God's knows that you don't want to be monotheistic. You don't want to talk about a God. You don't want to be there to be an almighty God who you might fear. You don't want your education certainly based in the fear of the living and true God. So polytheism is so hard. It's so hard to treat all of the ethical codes equally. That's just hard to do. Dave, I guess I feel sorry for the public schools just for a moment. Let me just feel sorry for them.
Now, they're going to be offended at that.
It's just hard to be pluralistic. It's hard to be intolerant because at some point you're going to be intolerant of the intolerant. Ladies and gentlemen, hurtful T-shirt slogans. In a moment, the Alliance Defense Fund is going to be on this program. They're going to sponsor the Day of Truth, and they want high schoolers, Christian high schoolers, walking around public schools with stuff on T-shirts. We're going to be back in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. This is Generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. We are back with more on Generations. And today we want to talk about Day of Truth. This is a day that has been established to counter the promotion of the homosexual agenda, especially on public high schools. The day is scheduled for April 27th, and the Alliance Defense Fund is behind this. And representing the Alliance Defense Fund today, I have Delia Van Lonen online with me. And thanks, Delia, for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Delia, you know, a Day of Truth is a pretty new thing. Is this something you folks started just a year or two ago?
We did. We actually started it last year. And what the Day of Truth is it provides an opportunity for participating students to express a different perspective in the Day of Silence, which is so important because students can't be expected to make good, well-informed decisions if they're only being told part of the story.
Right, and Day of Silence, for the listening audience, is a day that homosexuals has picked for a day to promote homosexuality on public school campuses.
Right, well, the Day of Silence is sponsored by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and it occurs on April 26th, and it's all about promoting the homosexual agenda, and the way they're doing that is really by censoring any opposing viewpoints. So the Day of Truth is the day after the Day of Silence on April 27th, and it really is an opportunity for these students to present a different side of the debate and to really educate their peers.
And you're getting a lot of folks signed up for this. I think somebody told me something like 700 schools already signed up for people participating in this Day of Truth.
That's right. We're just so excited because we've actually already doubled our participation from last year. So, it's really just so exciting that, these students are going to be able to exercise their First Amendment rights in their public high schools and be able to present their opinion on this issue.
Folks, speaking with Delia Van Lonen from the Alliance Defense Fund today on Day of Truth. And, you know, I think the high schools, Delia, are becoming the battleground for the homosexual movement. I mean, the high schools seem to be the new mission field for the homosexuals.
Well, you know, the high schools are so important, but this obviously is something that can be done on college campuses as well, because really we want our students to be able to make informed decisions. And in order to do that, they need good information. And our approach is that silence doesn't teach anyone anything. It's only through an open and honest and respectful discussion that truth is allowed to rise to the surface. And that's really what we're trying to do with the Day of Truth, is to give these students an opportunity to talk to their peers about this issue.
And the issue is homosexuality. Wow. You know, I think about back in the 1970s when we were in high school, you didn't really hear about this issue as much as you do today. A lot of things have changed since then, haven't they?
They have, you know, and some people will debate the fact whether this issue should be in our schools, but the fact of the matter is that it is in the schools, and, you know, we have a day of silence, and so we need to hear from another perspective. We need to ensure that the First Amendment is alive and well in these high schools and that these students are able to present their opinion, because when you allow communication of one viewpoint and you claim it's the only viewpoint, you're only advocating, you're not educating. And so Day of Truth supporters are really working to encourage an open and honest discussion in these public high schools.
And you've got something like a couple of thousand high schoolers, I suppose mostly Christian high schoolers, that are out there with these T-shirts on. And what is your expectation? What do you want them to do?
Well, what happens on the Day of Truth is that, well, first of all, they should go to our website at dayoftruth.org, and they can register, and they can order T-shirts and message cards, and a DVD as well, an informational video on the Day of Truth. And on April 27th, the students will show up at school wearing their T-shirts, and they will pass out their message cards. And this is all done during school hours, but it's outside of class time, so it's really non-disruptive as opposed to the Day of Silence, where students are really, you know, they're essentially not speaking for an entire day, which can obviously be very disruptive of the learning environment. So the students participating in the Day of Truth really do it in a non-disruptive manner, and, you know, the whole point of the Day of Truth is to engage in this open and honest discussion, so that's what students will be doing on the Day of Truth, and of course they can go to our website at dayoftruth.org and get resources, you know, for all kinds of information that they can use to talk to their peers about the Day of Truth. And then also at the end of the day, on April 27th, there will be wrap-up sessions that these students will be holding to discuss the day's events. And it's really an opportunity to remind these students that they have this First Amendment right to voice their opinion and to participate in the Day of Truth. And we encourage any students who may be censored or punished for participating in the Day of Truth to call us at 1-800-TEL-ADF, because we have over 800 allied attorneys all across the United States who are ready to assist students should they be censored and trying to exercise their First Amendment rights.
And I'm sure you've heard what the Ninth Circuit decision did on T-shirt etiquette just a few days ago. Delia, what's your take on it, and how do you think that affects this event?
Well, I was actually not the attorney on that case, but what I can tell you is essentially what the court has done is upheld school censorship of student expression if it's a Christian viewpoint on this issue. And so, you know, we're going to be determining what course of action to take. We're probably going to appeal that decision because we're a legal alliance that's dedicated to defending the right to hear and speak the truth. And that's what the Day of Truth is all about, and that's why we're so concerned with ensuring that the First Amendment is alive and well in these public schools.
Yes, I think that's critically important. In fact, you know, more and more, I think Christians are wanting to abandon the public schools. So on the one hand, you have an impulse to want to be evangelist. You want to make a statement. You want to get out there and publicize the truth of God's word and the eternal truths of God's laws and God's principles on the public school campuses. But then on the other side, you've also got public schools effectively abandoning a Christ-centered approach, a God-centered approach to science, history, and other things. Where do you think the balance lies on this one, Delia?
Well, obviously, you know, the First Amendment allows for this open discussion. And when you allow students to have a day of silence without allowing them to have a day of truth, all you're doing is limiting free speech and the free exchange of ideas. And that's not what, you know, the First Amendment intends for. The First Amendment really intends for this open and honest debate. And so, you know, students across the country who want to share their Christian love will be silenced without the Day of Truth, which is why it's such an important forum for these students.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is the Alliance Defense Fund getting behind this particular thing, Delia? What's the vision behind this thing?
Well, the Day of Truth was really created in response to the fact that Christian students were contacting us because they were being censored. Mm. So at the Alliance Defense Fund, what we wanted to do was really empower these students to be able to express their opinion and to exercise their First Amendment right. So I encourage any students who may be listening to go to dayoftruth.org to register, to sign up, to participate in the Day of Truth, and to really demonstrate that Christian love on April 27th.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Alliance Defense Fund is doing everything they can to keep the First Amendment alive, and the Lord knows we need that amendment, don't we, Delia?
Yes, we do.
And thank you so much for joining us. Again, folks, if you want information on this, just go to the web. It's dayoftruth.org. All right, folks, today, T-shirts on Generations. Should you wear them? Should you not wear them? Dave, generally, I'm pro-T-shirt.
You wear a T-shirt underneath your collared shirt?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm very pro-T-shirt. And, you know, why don't we come up with some T-shirts you should not wear into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals? Just, you know, what are the sorts of T-shirts that you would not recommend? How about this one? Absolutely no absolutes.
Well, absolutely, you shouldn't wear that one.
Into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals?
No.
Or how about this one? I went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for Justice, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
That one you shouldn't wear, but you know that shirt would get overturned, or at least turned inside out.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. It would get turned inside out. Or you can have the hate line of T-shirts. I hate hatred. I mean, who would disagree with that? Would you get tossed out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for something like, I hate hatred?
Well, hate's not a family value, so you should hate it.
It sounds intolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't tolerate intolerance. Yeah. I don't know who could.
Yeah, okay. All right. Or what about this? How about just tolerate this? That would be offensive, though.
I like that one. Yeah. Tolerate this.
Yeah. Or I'm a nudist trapped in this T-shirt. I mean, that's sort of like, you know, you're a boy trapped in a girl's body or whatever.
Right. I'm a nudist trapped in a T-shirt. It's very unfair that the nudists have to get dressed in polite society.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to come out of the closet, but not with the things in the closet.
Or you could take my cannibal line, you know, the cannibal homosexual thing. I didn't choose to be a cannibal. I was born that way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's T-shirt worldviews today. And, folks, our worldviews have been messed up. And we have so much inconsistency, not just in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but the way we are educated. Our schools today are not giving our children a solid, cohesive worldview. A worldview that is rooted in the fear of God, and that is the only possibility of a decent worldview. That's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Let me encourage you to get one of our books on worldview at our resource center in Parker. One of my very favorite ones is Gary DeMar's Thinking Straight in a Crooked World. You can get this book and get your worldview straightened out by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.